Hey, welcome to the Noble Wise Men podcast, where anything is possible all through Christ. I'm your host, Kevin Leon, and I'm just an ordinary guy whose life was transformed by someone truly extraordinary. I believe that no one is too far gone, and it's never too late to start changing our thoughts and our behaviors for the better. The Noble Wise Men podcast was created to help young men in their pursuit of truth, virtue, values, morals, mindsets, and perspectives. We release new episodes every single Monday, and you can visit us on our website at www.noblewisemen.com. There, you'll find links to all of our social media. That way you can subscribe and not miss out on any of our content. You can also leave us a suggestion for a topic that you'd like us to discuss in a future episode. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode, where I'll be going over 12 different things that the Bible has to say about money. Let's get right into it. So jumping right on into it, as we normally do, this week's episode is a little convoluted. It's one of those topics that oftentimes people don't really like to talk about. Depending on who you are, you may love talking about money, but it's when it comes to finances, especially when it comes to church and Christian culture and all these different kinds of things, money is a sensitive area and a sensitive topic of discussion for a lot of different people. And now, even though this episode's not going to be about tithing or anything like that, explaining what that is, what it means, it's not going to be that kind of episode. I did want to go over a bunch of different things that the Bible has to say. In this case, 12. There's many, many more, but 12 things that the Bible says when it comes to money. And it's going to be more so, at least in this episode, more so reading the Bible verses rather than me kind of going over and talking about it, because there's a lot of wisdom found in this, but it's going to be 12 different verses that we're going to read and not necessarily dissect, but touch on briefly. The first one that we're going to read is one that people often misquote, I would say, the most, and that is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, which says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." Oftentimes, you'll hear people quote this verse, at least the very first part of it, and they'll always say that money is the root of all evil. And that's not necessarily true. Money itself is not the root of all evil. It is the love of money that is the root of all kinds of different evil. Because as people chase after that, they chase after wealth, they chase after riches, they find themselves doing things that they shouldn't, stealing from people, doing things unethically without integrity. They blur the lines, they work in the gray area, and it's all in the pursuit of money. It's in the pursuit of riches, and that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. And I do apologize if the flow of this episode is going to be more so just, you're not going to see much of me on the screen, I don't think. It's going to be mostly these Bible verses that we're going to be reading. But the next verse that we're going to read is going to be found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, and it ties right into what we just read in 1 Timothy. But Hebrews 13:5 says, "Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." So this is a good piece of advice that the Bible offers to those who read it. Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. A lot of times, I would say, envy is the complete opposite of gratitude. And when people are envious of others, of what they have, of their wealth, their cars, their houses, their jobs, whatever it is, if they're envious, they can also, in many cases, become covetous. They covet after these things. They desire to have these things that other people have. And it leaves them in a place where they're just unhappy. They're not content. They're left with like almost a hole missing. They're just not fulfilled. And it's a bad place to be. It's not a place that you strive to be. It's not something that people are trying to achieve. It is this place that is not content, and it's not a good place to be in. And so the second half of this verse, when it says, "He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Who is that? That is God who has said that. When we're in times where we may be down on our luck, where we may not be having much in terms of provision, in terms of our jobs, there are going to be times in your life where things are going to be rough, where you're not going to have the finances. But as God has once said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We have to remember that in those times where we're down and out and we're struggling, that God is still with us in those moments. And just as the Bible talks about how he even cares and provides for the birds of the air and the flowers in the field, he's going to care for and provide for you too, because how much more valuable are you than a bird? God provides for all the animals, and he provides for you as well. And so we have to remember that and hold on to that when these tough times come, because God will never leave us or forsake us. So don't have this love for money, because again, it's the root of all evil. It will lead you to do things in the pursuit of wealth, in the pursuit of money and riches, will lead you to do things that are unethical, that are morally wrong, if your love and your heart is for that money. It's a different, completely different thing. And we'll see more of that in these verses. So the next one we'll read is going to be Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10, which says, "Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless." And you're going to end up finding a lot of truth in all these verses that we're going to read today. Because I can tell you this from personal firsthand experience, from people who I've spoken to, things that I've seen in my own life, in my career, and different kinds of things. For someone who is in love with money, it doesn't matter if they're making $250,000 a year, $500,000 a year, $10 million a year. They're never content and they're never satisfied, because they're chasing after this thing that will never truly fulfill them. It's not going to give them true happiness, and they're never satisfied. This love for money and the pursuit of it is meaningless. And that's not to say that you should not pursue money. That's not to say that you shouldn't be ambitious and try to get promoted at your job or try to do the best job that you can do. It's not to say that you shouldn't do that, right? The Bible also records that for those who don't provide for their family members, for their loved ones, they're just as bad as infidels or unbelievers. And so you still have to provide as a man. You still have to work and have a job, right? As men, we have to work. But this pursuit, you have to do it for different reasons. You have to do it to care for those around you, not just to try to be richer than the next guy or better off than somebody else. It's okay to pursue a good career, a good job, and provide for those that you love and those around you, and to be able to bless others with that same provision, with that same wealth that you've received, to use it to help others. But the love of money and the pursuit of it is meaningless. And we'll see. I mean, I can tell you that from personal experience and from people who I've spoken to as well. And now when it comes to money for a Christian man, a Christian woman, whoever it is, someone who is a follower of Christ, who loves the Lord and actually serves him and desires to get closer to God, what does it mean for a Christian to pursue wealth? How can we have a healthy relationship with money as we serve the Lord? And Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. And what does that mean? Again, talking about the love of money and how it is the root of all evil. If you have God on one side telling you to bless others, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to do good things, to love other people, but then you have this love of money on the other side, that by its very nature, you have to cheat, lie, steal. There are many, many ways to make money unethically and illegally, but who do you listen to? Which of the two voices are you going to listen to? It's going to be the voice that you love more. If you have two bosses at work, and they both have equal authority, they're both your boss, so let's say they're both owners of the company, whatever the case is. If one person tells you to go do something and the other person tells you not to do it, you're going to listen to the one that you like more, or the one that you respect more, the one who you fear more, whatever the case is. But you're, by nature, you can't do both things if they're opposites. If someone says go over there and the other one says stay put, you're going to listen to one of them. It's the same thing when it comes to this. If God is telling you to do one thing, but your love and your desire for wealth and riches tells you to do the other, in terms of doing, again, illegal, unethical, immoral things in the pursuit of it, who do you love more? Which one are you going to listen to? And as this verse is saying, you can't serve them both. You can't have your cake and eat it too, right? there's plenty of good ways and honest ways to make a living, to make money, to have be well off, but you can't serve both. So when it comes to serving God, that is the end all be all, top priority, your number one spot. And so if in your pursuit of money, in your career, if something that you have to do to gain it is against what the Word of God says, against what the Lord has said, then you should not do that thing. You should follow what the Lord has said and has commanded us to do. And in fact, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11 says, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it." And Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4 and 5 says, "Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle." So these are two proverbs, two wise sayings that talks about wealth. And it talks about how when you gain money quickly, it doesn't last. It's different to win, and I mean, honestly, we see this pretty often. When you see someone who wins the lottery, I forget what the number is, but a great, great, great majority of people who win the lottery end up more broke and worse off than when they started, than before they even hit the winning ticket. Because when you receive something in a haste, quickly, easily, you don't appreciate it as much. You spend it not as wisely as money that you may have worked hard for and saved up little by little. You're much more conscious of what you do with that than money that is quickly gained. And even as the other verse says, if you just, and I can tell you from personal experience, from people who I know who have been through it, who have been 10 times better off than I have and have lost it all. When you make money quickly, if you cast just a glance at riches, it is gone. As quickly as you make it is as quickly as you spend it. And that goes on all scales. And, you know, I know people who say that they would be more disciplined and they would do this, this, or that. And that's great. That's wonderful. Sometimes that is the case. But more often than not, as far as what I have seen in my own personal life, and it's in agreement with what God's word says as well, when people make money quickly, even if it's honest money and they made it, you know, doing the right things, not just dishonest money, but if they made it honestly and it's just quick and easy money, they spend it just as fast. And it's sometimes you have to take things little by little and you have to take your time with it. Because if all your value, if all your life's purpose is found in your job, in your status, in how much money you have in your bank account, what the number on the screen says when you look at your account and check it, if that's what you find your worth in, then you're going to be in a bad place when that runs dry and all that goes away. You're going to be in a tough, tough place. And in fact, Luke chapter 12, verse 15 says, "And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19 says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life." That is what is truly life. To do good things unto others, to help other people out. Life at its core is all about people, it's about relationships, how you can help others, and about the impact that you can make on someone else's life. If you take on that outlook, if you take on that mindset, not of what can these people do for me, but of what can I do for them, you're going to live a much, much better life. And I promise you that what comes around goes around, in the sense of when you have that generous mindset, that open heart to do good, and even if you get taken advantage of, even if you get hurt in the process, continue to do good regardless of whether or not it comes back to you, regardless of whether it is received. It will, by its nature, I'm telling you, it will come back around. And Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1 says, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold." Money is not everything in life. Having a good name, good character, being a man of your word and others knowing that they can count on you and depend on you, having favor with others around you, having those relationships, that is much better than silver or gold or any kind of riches, is when you can have that line of communication and that relationship with someone. And check out what the Bible says when you do things like that. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So whatever is valuable to you, whatever you treasure in your life, your heart is going to be after that thing. So you want to make sure that you treasure things that are important, things that are meaningful, things that make an impact and make a difference. And how does the Bible say to spend your wealth, to spend your money? It says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." And so guys, I hope this episode has blessed you. I hope it has given you some more insight as far as money, as far as wealth, how it plays out. And really the meaning behind it is not just to use it to store up in a bank account, but to use it to help others. And as always, what I have to say is nowhere nearly as important as what God has to say. So I want to leave you off with a word from him. And it's found in Luke chapter 16, verse 9, which says, "I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." So guys, use the wealth that you have, not just to be self-fulfilling, not just to buy things that are immaterial, things that you can't take with you into the next life, which is with God, into eternal dwellings, but use it to make friends for yourselves. Use your wealth to bless those around you, to take care of those who are in more need, and just use it for good purposes and watch how things change. Watch how your heart is transformed and how you see the impact that you make on those around you. So be generous, be kind, God bless you, and as always, stay holy.